Okay, we're ready.
Good evening, everyone. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the regular business meeting of January 11, 2021, the work study meeting of January 25, 2021, and the special meeting of February 2, 2021. First, Mrs. Penney, second by Mrs. DeLerba. All in favor? Passes 7-0. May I have a motion to approve the treasurer and business office financial reports and extracurricular fund report for December 2020. The internal claims reports for September 2020, October 2020, and November 2020. First, Mrs. Dobson, second, Mr. Montalto, all in favor? Passes 7-0. Superintendent's report.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us tonight. Some items to report on tonight. First off, I'd like to thank our business office for all the great work they did this past year. We just received the fiscal stress score from the New York State Comptroller's Office. Last week, the Comptroller released the 2020 fiscal stress scores. As you know, the objective of the report was to identify school districts in fiscal stress, meaning districts susceptible to fiscal stress as well. The report is based on a snapshot of the district's financial conditions. The potential stress scores are significant, moderate, susceptible, and no designation. We are happy to say tonight that the Babylon Union Free School District scored in the category of no designation. In fact, based on the report, our position improved and strengthened. So congratulations to the fine work, Dr. Daly, coming out of your office and everyone in there that helps you. That's just great news for Babylon, and thanks, Ken. Good work. Mr. D'Amico, can you fill the board in and the community in about upcoming junior high, senior high parent teacher conferences?
We're in the process. I just met with Mr. Richard Daly, the president of the PTA, and Mr. Strom, principal of the junior senior high school. We met today to start working out some of the details. It will be fully virtual. We want to do it group teams. We're working with Mr. DeLeo, the director of technology, to best find a way to best do that. It will be happening sometime in March.
Thank you. I want to talk a little bit about the upcoming musical performances and the drama production. Last week we met with Mrs. Turk and Mr. Cerrone, and the high school will be distributing information shortly regarding all dates and times of virtual junior high, senior high school concerts, along with our annual drama production, 12 Angry Jurors. I know they're finalizing some technical items right now, but we're looking forward to seeing those virtual events that our entire community can enjoy. I also want to thank our wonderful school nurses, our terrific AD and security personnel, and Mrs. Donaldson, thank you. They were all here this weekend with me as we conducted mandated rapid COVID testing of all students who wish to participate in high-risk winter sports. Thanks to all their efforts, every team athlete was tested, and rapid testing of athletes will continue on Sunday, February 14th, and Sunday, February 21st at 8 a.m. This past weekend, the high school also held the annual Super Bowl of Caring drive-up event. The school, thanks to the majority of many generous people, collected gently used coats, socks, toiletries, and food for the needy. So thank you for that. I just want to remind all families that the annual Go Home Early drill is scheduled for this coming Friday, February 12th, 2021. We have sent numerous reminders home, and principals are also including reminders in the weekly sways. And finally, special thanks to the wonderful Babylon Facilities team. They spent this weekend pre-treating and paving our parking lots for today's safe return. just one point of reference, we have used all of our three allowable snow days for the school year, and we plan on pivoting to virtual instruction if there is any snow-related need to cancel in-person instruction in our near future. So if we have an upcoming storm, whether it's this week or any time this winter, we will then pivot to virtual instruction. All of the teachers have been informed by me, and they are reminding the students to take home their devices nightly, okay? And that's all to report on tonight. Thank you.
We're just getting ready for the presentation on the post 20.
This one, then? Yeah.
2021-2022 school budget.
Can someone move the slides forward? You're doing that, Dr. Daly? Okay, thank you. So, yeah, we have Dr. Daly with us tonight, along with myself. We'll be talking a little bit about how we're getting started into this budget season. First off, you know, tonight's agenda, we're going to talk about how the budget every year is organized. We're going to review the current year's operational budget, where we're standing now, as well as goals for next year. We'll do a quick review of the New York State property tax cap. We're actually in the 10th year of that already, as well as discuss challenges and opportunities as we continue to frame this proposed budget for May vote. So as we know, the budget is really a very interactive process. We begin the budget planning process in the summer. It's constantly changing. We meet with a lot of people here in the district, whether they be principals, department directors, we look at goals of the district, we look at, you know, what's working regarding the program, what we need to improve upon. And this budget is definitely going to be including items where we think we can improve, especially I can personally say I think in the area of social and emotional health, you know, considering what the students have had to go through this year. But it really is a very collaborative process, and our goal is always to create a budget that supports the current instructional programs as well as enhanced instructional opportunities for all students. So the budget actually has to be comprised of three components: the administrative component, the educational component, which includes special education costs, and the plant facilities and maintenance component, which is self-explanatory. But you'll notice I have in red on this slide a huge bulk of the expenses in each of these components are really coming from salaries and employee benefits. I think salary and employee benefits come from, like, what, maybe 70% of an operational budget, right?
So,
yeah. And then those are, you know, in the other bullets below that are other items in each of these components. But you're really looking at, you know, budget to budget increases based on salary and employee benefits, or those hard costs that are somewhat not changeable and not, they can't be amended too much. And those, you know, go from year to year. The second part is to talk about is really, okay, the first component, the administrative component. That is where you'll see your Board of Education lines, your line for your district clerk, your lines for the central administration, including everything coming out of the superintendent's office. You'll see the business administration lines in that component, purchasing, auditing fees, personnel and human resources management, treasury and banking. The second component is the program component. This component is really the bulk of what we do on a daily basis. This is the educational component of teaching and learning. That includes all instructional and non-instructional faculty and staff salaries, materials, textbooks, supplies, fees that we pay to BOCES for certain services that we bring in from BOCES, or services that BOCES professionals provide our students. Here is where you also see special education costs that we have to pay to providers outside of the district. All support services. Now, support services include library services, guidance services, health services, psychologists, social workers, computer tech support. The program component also includes athletics, co-curricular activities, as well as transportation. So this program component is a large, large portion of the operational budget. And then the third component is the plant operations and maintenance component. Here is where you'll find everything dealing with facilities and grounds, custodial and maintenance salaries, the basic maintenance of the buildings, utilities, fuel, oil, and gas, contracts for maintenance and service, materials and supplies, health and safety support, and equipment. So if we're looking at the current year's budget, I'm going to throw this slide over to Dr. Daly. In the 2020-2021 voter-approved budget, we broke it down where we're presenting some numbers tonight.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Frost. Looking at the current 2020-2021 budget, the dollar amount is $55,602,506. That represented a 1.37% increase over the year before. The taxpayer-funded portion for, better known as the tax levy, was $43,909,250. That represented a 2.82% increase over the prior year. The difference between the two, funded by state aid, appropriated fund balance, and other revenue, was $11,693,250. Now, looking at the other side, because the budget process has a revenue side and an expense side. On the revenue side, state aid was $9,735,262. That represents approximately 18 to 19% of our total revenue. The board decided we appropriated $1.4 million in fund balance. That was a $200,000 reduction from the year before. And lastly, other revenue sources equaled $557,988. Those are various assorted revenues that we get from things like district of location, district of resident fees, tuition charges we may charge to other school districts, and it totals about $556,000 a year.
So quickly, some of the goals. Obviously, we're maintaining current programs, building upon other programs that we hope to see. Social and mental health opportunities are going to be really looked at as we go into next year's budget, considering we're coming off a pandemic. A big portion of the budget that is very important to us is to continue the multi-year plan that enhances the district's technology infrastructure. This is something we've been really doing well over the course of a number of years, especially with our one-to-one world computing initiative. This year, more than ever, I would say. So we need to keep that going quite well and supporting that as best as we can. And obviously, you know, our goal is to design and adopt a budget that is very, very worthy of what the taxpayers have gone through this past year. It has not been easy for a lot of people in our community, and I think we realize that. So again, we create a budget that stays within the allowable tax cap, you know, the tax levy cap for everybody. That is definitely a given.
Okay, it's hard to believe that we're looking at year 10 of the tax cap. And just as a brief review, the tax cap is a throttle on the growth in the tax levy from one year to the next. That growth is limited in most cases to the change in the annual consumer price index. So the tax levy usually increases an amount equivalent to the change in the annual consumer price index. Obviously for us, with 80% of our revenue coming from the tax levy, that's a limiting factor that we always have to consider strongly when we're developing our budget and trying to maintain the quality programs that we offer our students. So it's something that will be here forever. It's been hugely popular. It's not going anywhere. It's just something that we have to deal with every year. So the cap, not to go into too much detail, we've not had to worry about it much. A budget that is tax cap compliant, meaning that your growth in the levy is consistent with the tax levy, requires a simple majority vote. If a community attempted to pierce the cap or put up a budget that would raise taxes more than the CPI, they would then have to receive in its vote a supermajority, 60+1. We've not had to do that. Most districts, or the districts that have attempted to do that, have been unsuccessful. I always like to present this slide throughout the budget process, which shows how we fare compared to our counterparts in Suffolk County and on Long Island. On the bottom, I have an average of the first 9 years. Obviously, we don't yet know what next year brings, but if you look here, going across from, let's go down to 2020-2021, our budget-to-budget increase was 1.37%. The average for all of Long Island was 1.83. The average for just Suffolk County was 1.65. The line below is the average over the past 9 years. And then if you go across to the tax levy side, our percentage increase 2020-21 was 2.82, Long Island 2.13, Suffolk 2.09. Our averages 2.46, 2.05, and 2.24. Now, there's a very easy explanation for why our tax levy percent increase average is above Long Island and Suffolk County. And that is, we introduced a large capital construction project, which was approved by the voters. I don't know how many years ago that was, but it was probably 3 or 4. It was $26.6 million. And the debt service that results from that large borrowing is excluded from the cap calculation. That's in the law. And that resulted in some years here where our tax levy increases were sizable compared to our peers, but that had to do with the exclusions allowed in the cap. And thus, the average for that period is a little bit larger than it was for our counterparts on Long Island and in Suffolk County. Here's the tax levy limit calculation formula. All school districts in New York State use this formula, which is provided by the New York State Office of Controller, and we follow through this entire process. The numbers that change each year are the tax base growth factor, and for us it's 1.0059, which is good. That reflects well in the formula. The other one, the CPI or 2%, whichever is lesser this year, is 1.23%. 1.23%. That's the lowest increase since 2016.
Definitely. Is it 1.23 or
1.23? It's 1.23, but I presented here in the formula, so it brings it down. And then we come down to the bottom. We have our exclusions. We have our property tax levy cap, $44,497,962. The prior year, or 2020-2021, $43,909,256. The increase, or the growth, to be tax cap compliant in dollars is $588,706. As a percent, that's 1.34%. Our 2021-2022 tax levy can increase per the formula 1.34%. So that's a major piece of the budget puzzle when we start to figure out both sides so that at the end of the day, they both balance. State aid, an article appeared in Newsday over the weekend highlighting the different levels of state aid in school districts. This year's proposal for Babylon is not much different than other years. We would always like more. We know what's different about this year is that revenues statewide are not producing as well as they would like. If they don't have revenue, they can't give that revenue out. Many, many, many school districts are concerned about state aid. We've gotten our initial proposal as part of the governor's budget that was released on or about January 9th or 10th. The hope is that when the legislature finally adopts the state budget on April 1st, that they will improve upon the numbers that the governor has presented for school districts. Now, I will point your attention to the slide on the screen, because the increase in our total aid without building aid is only 0.41%. Now, you have to ask yourself, what is wrong with this picture? On the tax levy slide, albeit it was low, we're allowed to increase the tax levy 1.23% because that's what they determined to be the change in the annual consumer price index. So wouldn't it logically follow that our state aid should at least be 1.23%? But it's not. It's not. And it should be. The total increase in our aid is a result of the increase in building aid. And you cannot be misled by that, because building aid is the classic example of expense-driven aids. You have to spend it to get the aid. We are making those expenditures on the budget side, so the increased aid is only offsetting our additional expenditures. The number to look at is the number minus building aid. And right now, that's not a good number. We hope they will improve upon that. So the repeat offenders in our annual budget are some of the knowns and the unknowns. The health care premium increase, we're estimating a January 1, 2022 premium increase of 4%. Health premiums increase on a calendar year. So we go into the budget process knowing what the first half of the year's premiums will be and what our employees will contribute. The only thing we don't know is plan changes. Family to individual, individual to family, retirements, new staff. But that is negligible in compared to the larger number. What we don't know is what the premium increases are going to be January 1 of 2022. What we're supposed to estimate now. And we do that every year. I guess this was fairly good news. The employer contribution rate, or employer contribution to the teacher retirement system, only increased slightly. It was 9.50 last year. This year they're projecting it to be 9.83. That's a slight increase, but remember, salaries increase. So that is going to, you are going to see an increase in that budget line. Lastly, ERS, which is not nearly as large, employee retirement system. That's for the non-teaching, non-professional staff. That's for support staff, clerk, custodial. That contribution rate, employer contribution rate, is scheduled to increase 16%, but it's not nearly as significant in the overall pool of money. So, one thing.
Okay, so moving forward, April 1st is the
adoption deadline for the state budget. Our district adoption date is scheduled for April 12th, 2021. We still have some unknowns. The teacher retirement notification date is March 1st. Every year our teachers have to notify us before, on or before that date, if they intend to retire. So that will definitely have implications with the budget. And our next scheduled budget meeting is scheduled for February 22nd. That is the Monday night when we return from the Lincoln Derby Fest. Finally, next slide. If anybody wants to see the dates upcoming, there we go. Those are the future budget workshops between February 22nd and the annual budget going to May 18th. We're not sure if it's going to be in person. So I wanted to put that in there. It's tentative that it's in the Babylon Junior Senior High School gymnasium. We don't know yet. Okay?
Thank you. Who's going to be determined if they're going to do it in person or mail again?
That will probably be through the governor's office.
Okay.
Any questions?
No idea when I'll leave.
No, we're having to know. Believe me, if I heard something else, I'll let you know immediately. Attorney. Okay. Any questions?
So, with retirements notifications due by March 1st. We do meet again on the 8th, so will we have more information there about
definitely
numbers?
Okay.
Definitely, absolutely.
Okay, is there any questions?
Great. Moving on to committee reports.
Audit committee. Hi, everybody. Thank you. So we had to reschedule our meeting, and we are hoping to have our next meeting on the 22nd at 6 p.m. If that changes, I'll let you know. Thank you.
Finance.
So our next meeting will be the 22nd at 5:30. At that point, Dr. Daly will be looking for some guidance as we examine where we expect to balance our budget. Directions you want to go.
Buildings and grounds.
We have nothing to report at this point.
Technology.
Okay, the technology committee met tonight. Here are some updates. At the elementary school, the printers have been upgraded, tested, and are running. The technology department was able to add a favorite bar for the K students and the second grade students, still working on first grade. So that'll just help the students access the site they use frequently more easily without having to type in a search bar or Google it. So that's a nice upgrade for those kids. Grade school printers have been upgraded and testing is in progress. They still have about 65 devices left to update for sixth graders. The technology department has added office hours for elementary school and grade school teachers before school, so that's to help them with any kind of technology issues they might be having. At the high school, the help desk is still available during that lunch break in between the AM and PM sessions. In terms of the Ed2D law, the mandated training for all employees, the technology department is saying we will meet the mandate. The modules are ready for deployment. They're looking to send it out to all staff after the winter break. And that's going to be basically for all staff. If anyone who might come into contact with student PII. So that's like everybody. Okay, security. There's been a significant uptick in attacks on schools everywhere. Those of you who work in schools have probably noticed that I know I have. Here in Babylon, in the last 30 days, they have had 21 malware attempts through email, 8,988 blocked phishing emails, 11 advanced threat protection alerts. Issues where kids are trying to download video games, browser extensions, things like that on their school devices. Which brings up the question, how much of the devices should be used for personal use and how much for educational use? So that's always a debate that is going on. And what the technology department is finding is that they are spending a lot more time on security to keep the system safe rather than updating and working on instructional schools. So that's like an issue that's forthcoming. We're trying to find a balance. The proposed budget for next year is basically the same as last year, and there'll be more information about that forthcoming. I think that's it.
Thank you. Curriculum. Hi, good evening. We met on February 3rd, and great conversation as Mr. D'Amico went through the plan they have for DEI diversity, equity, and inclusion training. It's going to start first with the administrative staff, and then we'll get to ways for it to come down to the staff and our students. And we'll continue that discussion. Our next meeting is going to be scheduled for March 4th. Great. Leslie, policy.
Okay, good evening. At our last meeting, we discussed policy 5151R, that's the homeless children regulation. Again, it's the second revision from the original policy, which dates back to November 2005. This revision includes transportation to district of origin for summer programs and extracurriculars, as well as language of person and parental relations. The second reading and adoption of this policy is this evening, and our next meeting is scheduled for March 8th.
Great. Moving on to new business. May I have a motion to omnibus items 1 through 20? First, Mrs. Donaldson, second, Mrs. Penne, any discussion?
We're going to call out resolution 1
after. Yes. All in favor? Passes 7-0. May I have a motion to approve items 1 through 20? First, Mr. Montalto, second, Mrs. Donaldson, any discussion? All in favor? Passes 7-0. Mrs. Rodney.
Sure. I just wanted to bring attention to item number 1. This is sad for us, but happy for him. For many of you who know Coach Andrews at Babylon Elementary School, he is looking forward to a beautiful retirement, and we will miss him dearly. He has been a champion of children for all the years that he has worked here. So like I said, very sad for us, very good for him, happy for him. Best wishes to Coach Andrews, Robbie Andrews, who is set to retire at the end of the year. Congratulations.
Thank you. Any other business?
There's one other resolution on tonight I just wanted to bring everyone's attention to. The Suffolk County School Superintendents Association has been working very closely with the Suffolk County Department of Health. And together, they penned a memorandum of agreement in which school districts would sign on to be HODs, points of distribution centers for when vaccines become readily available. Now that would mean the ability for us to vaccinate with the available vaccines that are out there at the time, our teaching staff, our non-instructional staff, in addition to community residents, which I thought was terrific. So when I heard this, I said, I immediately would love to be considered one of these pods in Babylon. We have been told that, it's very hard to get the vaccines right now, that there are a number of weeks out, but we signed up for it. So I'm happy to announce that whenever that comes into our reality, we will make it work. So that's an exciting thing for the Babylon School District, which I think could be a wonderful thing to give back also to the Babylon community.
Can I ask a question about that?
Sure.
Did they send the personnel to give the vaccine, or are they just sending the vaccine?
We don't have the details yet. I think it will be in collaboration with the Department of Health. I know that when they did the pilot COVID testing, they did send some of their people.
Yeah.
I have a question. About the sports, which I do want to commend everyone who's involved in getting the Iowa sports activated in such a short amount of time with no lead time, getting everything happening. And I know we had a special meeting to make sure we could do the vaccination. Just want to again thank everyone from the nurses through the AD and all the families who contributed. Now, I know some of the kids that signed up for like the non-high-risk sports, so they had an option to then switch to a high-risk sport. You know, they had started with that. Like, that was not a problem switching from one to the other.
I don't believe it was a problem.
Okay.
I know Mr. DeJoseph has up-to-date rosters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyone who was on the current roster, you know, as of yesterday, should have been contacted for an appointment.
Yeah. And then are we going to track any kind of quarantine results from positive tests that come up on a weekly basis?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Yes.
And of course, this question might be silly, but will the upstate reimburse for any costs that are associated with us doing this testing?
Probably not.
Okay.
Just my honest opinion. Right? This is just stole my thunder.
But I really also just wanted to, you know, we had like no notice. It was lightning speed that Mr. Joseph and Mrs. McHugh will get, you know, just amazing staff. And they kind of surprised us and they got the ball rolling and the athletes tested in the middle of like a snowstorm. So I just, you know, also want to commend them.
Any other discussion? Other business?
No. Okay, is there anything from representatives of organizations?
No.
Questions or comments from visitors?
Sure. We have a couple of community members who submitted questions for tonight. I'm going to preface, it's all on the topic of school reopening. So before we begin to answer these questions, I just want everyone to know that we have had deep discussions at the district and building level, and these discussions happen with our teacher representatives. Some of the questions tonight I can answer. Some others we want to first meet with our teacher representatives so they don't get, you know, so we're not giving answers out tonight before they have the option to talk with us. But we're optimistic. I am asking the Board of Education tonight. I do have a couple of recommendations, which I'd like your opinions on. I think at our next work study session, that is February 22nd, I'd like to know if we could offer a question and answer session over Zoom where we allow people to Zoom in and ask the question, we as a whole committee, along with our building leaders who could be here that evening, answer those questions. So I thought that would be a good way to hear from the community out in the public.
So the second work study would be another work study meeting on reopening, the one similar to the one we had with Mr. Jerome last time.
Yes, but I think, it would be great to have that open discussion with people who could Zoom in on this platform, ask the question where we have the opportunity to answer directly. Fair enough?
Okay. So we also have budget that night.
Yes, we do.
Will we separate, will we do budget questions as well?
Or? I would probably do the Q&A up front.
Okay.
Yeah, does that work with everybody? Okay. And before I get into these questions, Mr. DeMico and I were talking today. We would like to put together, we did a survey back in October with very generalized questions. We'd like to put a survey out to families sometime in the later part of February about reopening design and what that would mean. So I want to get the board's permission where we would create and send out a survey again in the later part of February to all parents, and hopefully every family can respond to it, as to their feelings about the current plan moving forward. It would just give us a really great sense, and we've had so many wonderful parents emailing us from both sides of you know, the opinions that are out there. But I think that would be very good data for us to work with moving forward.
I think the important piece there is to make sure that we have questions that really target what we're trying to measure.
make them more precise and specific. Thank you. I also think in a survey like that, the data gathering is important, but it's not a a percentage. We're not looking for a percentage of anything. We're looking for information from families because we still want to follow guidance that's been sent out by the different agencies that we follow. Thank you.
Okay. So moving on to
I tried. I couldn't get there. Like, oh, off the table. That was me lying on the table. I probably forgot my question. Now, I just wanted to make sure also, I think here to Donaldson, that we're very upfront in terms of, because when everybody says reopen, we are open. I just want to make sure we're open for the, you know, I think that's important when we're looking, when we say reopen. But also, you know, if we were to change the plan, you know, how realistically would that look? Because again, it might not be what people might envision when you have more children in here in terms of, I hope that's in part of the survey as well in terms of possible fit over Florida. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments? All right, so we will move forward with that. So the first set of questions came from Peter Wieland and asking, why does the Babylon School District continue to use 6 feet as a reason to not bring kids back to school? We just have our attorney here tonight, and it's his understanding that the Suffolk County Department of Health recommendation is still 6 feet distance with masks. That is the current understanding. We did ask the question. We will be also reaching out to our school physician for additional guidance. But you know, we continue to track that. Second question, why hasn't the school purchased plastic barriers for grades 7 through 12? Do they plan on making these purchases soon? Mr. D'Amico, do you want to maybe answer anything about barriers? We've talked to districts that are using barriers along with keeping the students 6 feet and distanced, and they're only as good as I guess, you know, in the beginning when they're used. They have to stay on the desks. I think the issue here is that the students move around and they would either have to carry them or, you know, be affixed to one desk, but that would mean multiple students would be seated at the same desk with the same barrier, correct?
That's correct. I think there's actually a few issues with balance. As you know, we have them in our elementary school and the grade school where our youngest students come into school every day. They sit at the same seat. They have all the materials there and the barriers. In the junior senior high school, we have students moving from class to class. So there would be an issue with the barriers in terms of either cleaning them or transporting them with the students. The other piece of that is that I think there's a little bit of a misconception in terms of how the barriers actually function. Unless if you saw our youngest students in the barriers at their desk, unless the student is actually leaning forward into the barrier, you're not really getting the full effect of being covered by a barrier. The barrier is at the desk. So in our elementary school and grade school, as everybody knows, we're 6 feet apart with masks and the barrier. I'm not saying that the barriers don't do anything, but if you were to go below 6 feet with the barrier is not really a barrier between student to student. Unless you are literally leaning forward into the barrier being covered by it.
Cubicle.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
We have those and I'm familiar, and there really is a pretty large gap. Yeah, I work with those and there's a pretty large gap. So you're really not socially distanced because the way the desks are situated, there's like, you know, the kids are here, the desks are up here, there's a good, I want to say, foot and a half to like gap. And so when they sneeze, when they cough, whatever, it's or they speak loudly and fall out in the stratosphere. It doesn't really catch anything. Plus, there's a glare, so it's very difficult to see like a smartboard because the light reflects off of the plastic. And it also muffles down. So a lot of times when kids are talking, nobody can hear them, and they actually put their head out and talk because nobody can hear each other. It muffles the sound as well.
Thank you. Okay. The next question is, can you please release the results of the survey taken in October of how many parents want their children to return to school full time? If the school district, So that was the question. We will make sure that those results are posted again. They might be on the website, I have to look again, but we'll make sure we get those up tomorrow. Again, we will be putting out a new survey too, based on everything we've done this year up to date, to see feedback that is current as well.
Well, can I just add something to that? It just came to mind as she was speaking. In looking at those results, we should keep in mind that we've made changes since then. So the model that we were taking a survey on, where we were in October, at that time, we've already progressed past that. As we all know, we've made changes along the way.
Right.
And so a new survey is most important.
And a new survey is going to be looking at, the scenarios that we've been talking about in the last couple of months in-house, what those would look like, which parents aren't privy to yet. So, those questions will be on a new survey coming out.
And before you leave that question, to review the things that, like Mr. Nico said, that have changed, you can go back, anyone can go back to the January 25th meeting, I believe it was when Mr. Sharon was here.
Yes.
That audio is available on our website.
Okay.
And he very carefully went through, along with Mrs. Nico and Mrs. Rodley, the steps that we've taken from September to now, the changes that we've made, and why we are where we are currently. So that's the audio from the January 25th work study meeting.
And these discussions and these amendments always involve those who are teaching in our classrooms also, which you have to do, Then we have Mrs. Teresa Petiri, who sent in many of the same questions, but there are a few that are not the same, which I'll try to see. So when can we expect a back-to-school committee with administrators, teachers, and parents for the junior, senior high school? Well, as we said back in the late fall, we'd start this conversation. We already have. These kind of things do have to be collaborated with our teachers association, and those are the people that we have to do that with. But I promise you, with the new survey going out in February, that parental input will be collected. And we hope that every single parent really fills out that survey for us, because that's great feedback. We answered the question about the October survey. Can we see the junior, senior high school classroom measurements data related to actual class sizes? How much space is needed to reopen the junior, senior high school, if any? Mr. Cerrone actually has that information on a spreadsheet, so we'll have to touch base with him on that. And that's something we could maybe even share, when we talk at the next work study meeting. Have we explored other locations to procure additional space at the junior senior high school? We have left no stone unturned. We looked at roll call, the gyms, the cafeteria. Yes, we have explored everything. Who is explicitly interpreting the New York State reopening guidelines? Please advise. Well, we take advice from our legal counsel based on current guidance that is published. And then the last question, as an immediate opportunity, what is preventing virtual Wednesdays from conforming from the current virtual model to the hybrid model? It's a very good question. This could be an immediate opportunity. Again, this is something that we work out with our people who are in the classrooms, but this is you know, a first step that could be discussed. Okay?
And has been discussed.
And has been discussed. Yeah, it was. And then the last one, when will partitions be purchased and installed at the junior senior high school? Our feeling is that partitions and shields are more optics than anything else, I think. So we're looking, you know, we have to look at other possibilities that would work given the guidelines, okay? So we hope everybody is able to join in on February 22nd. And we will be getting out an additional survey. Please spread the word to have people respond to it. Thank you.
Okay, future board meetings. The next work study meeting will be Monday, February 22nd, 7:30, and it will include the budget presentation. Regular budget meeting, a regular business meeting will be on Monday, March 8th, 7:30, also including a budget presentation. I have a motion to adjourn. Mrs. Jura is seconded by Mrs. Nowacki. All in favor? Passes 7-0. Thank you and good night.